शिवाय परमांशाय गुरु जय स्थित सदशी शिवाय भक्ति ग्रंथ सन प्रभा महाराज की जय. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Karanga. So do we have the verses? Okay. Today we're doing verses 32 to 37. Queen Kunti's prayers. Repeat. Oh, it's not there yet. Okay. We will wait for the computer. Can you put up one of these pictures and then the other one I will just hold up? Or if you can put up two, that's good. Okay. Okay, now we'll start. Devakyam yachito bhagat Ajastvamasya kshemaya Adhaya cha suradisham Paravataranyanye Uvonava ivodata Sirantya buriparena Jato yatma bhuvartita Oh, okay, I'm down in the wood.
Yeah.
You don't want to interrupt the service of Shri Computer. Bhavesmin klishamananam
Bhavesmin klishamananam
Avidya karma karma bhi
Avidya karma karma bhi
Shavana smaranarhani
Shavana smaranarhani
Karishani tikechana
Karishani tikechana
Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanta Vikshnasha Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanta Vikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Chanaha
Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Chanaha
Te Eva Pashyanti Achirena Tavakam
Te Eva Pashyanti Achirena Tavakam
Pava pavaho paramam padam bhujam.
Pava pavaho paramam padam bhujam.
Apyadyanastam sakitehita prabho.
Apyadyanastam sakitehita prabho.
Jihasasi svit svidanu jivina.
Jihasasi svit svidanu jivina.
Yisham nachanyat pavata param bhujat.
Yisham nachanyat
Parayanam Rajasu Yojitam Hasam.
Parayanam Rajasu Yojitam Hasam.
Mukam Makarati Vachalam Pangam Lankayate Gide Yakti Pantavam Vande Shri Guru Dinatarnam. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasamay Shri Guru Venama. So today we're studying Queen Kunti's prayers, why Krishna comes, all the reasons why Krishna comes. And yesterday we studied about the mercy, and we had some homework. And the homework was, how is Krishna's mercy coming to you? Did anybody have some realization or something happen? Yes.
Because I was so focused looking for the mercy,
You were looking for the mercy yesterday. You found you could remember him at every step. You were looking for the mercy. That's a good way to look. Good. So because you're always looking for the mercy to come, I was expecting the mercy, you could remember Krishna at every step. Good. Yes? It was, you got mercy at every step. Okay. Yeah, and we were in a near accident, and that was another mercy that Krishna protected us. that was mercy that the car didn't hit us. That was my mercy. Anybody else have something yesterday about mercy? Yes.
Not apart from holiday, but also yesterday morning I had sort of a little merciful glance how Krishna's merciful is. I just realized how much mercy Krishna gave me in the form of my son.
Oh, okay.
Like he's, he's kind of advancing somewhere in Krishna consciousness, and it's just giving me hope.
Wow, okay. Yes, when you see, you feel better when your children are advancing than when you yourself are advancing. How to do this? Yes, so that is great mercy. When we see, when the guru sees the disciples advancing, when the mother and father see the children advancing, that makes them more happy than if they themselves are advancing. Yes?
There's another one I noticed last night in class, the evening, kind of at the evening time, it's wind down time, and my moods are a lot higher than in the morning.
The moods are higher in the evening than in the morning for you. Yeah, having a class at night was nice, like Prabhupada said, the sandwich, morning and evening class in kirtan, and during the rest of the day, do your service. Mm-hmm. So you can see the potency of that.
Yes.
That you go to sleep. And we used to have evening class, and then we would read Krishna book before we would go to sleep, drinking hot milk and reading Krishna book. So that really did it, because then you dream of Krishna when you sleep. You hear the Krishna stories before you sleep, and then you dream what you just heard of. So that was quite nice. Anybody else have some mercy coming to them yesterday that you noticed? Usually we don't notice. We just take it for granted. But now we are trying to be more conscious in these classes, that we take home what we hear. It's not just words, but we try to apply it to our lives in practice. So, mercy. So, now, the second question we had for yesterday was, is there any mercy you're reluctant to receive? Did anybody get some mercy that they really didn't appreciate or didn't want to receive? Yes?
Chastisement.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah?
Every day being at work.
Every day being at work. Okay, that was the mercy you didn't appreciate. I guess you have to make your work a temple or somehow. Or somehow bring Krishna, remember Krishna at work. I don't know if it's possible, but somehow or other we have to think of Krishna while we work. Somehow. Okay, any other mercy that was difficult? Yeah?
I kept getting this
let the calamities happen again and again.
I'm not ready for this. What is
good? No, don't. I don't want to. So you, yeah, don't. I don't want to remember this verse about calamities again and again. Okay, yeah, that's kind of a. I wouldn't blame you for being reluctant to accept that mercy. We don't want calamities again and again. I mean, they're going to come anyway, so there's no need. But don't worry. What you think of in Kali Yuga, it doesn't happen unless it's a good thing. Unless it's a really good thing, and you're not responsible for the bad thoughts you have in Kali Yuga. You don't get the. In previous ages, you would get the reaction. Whatever you would think, it would also happen. You would get the reaction for your bad thoughts and your good thoughts in the same way as if you had actually done them. The same punishment just for thinking. And, you know, like one the wife of Jamadagni, she went to the river to fetch water for the puja, and then she saw the king of the Gandharvas enjoying, and then she also got attracted, and then she was late coming back, and her husband was so angry that he gave her the death sentence for just becoming a little lusty or being unchaste in the mind. So it was, that was the old days. Thank God we're in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Actually, the people born in Satyuga desire to be born in Kali Yuga because it's so merciful, it's so easy to make spiritual advancement. And I can see why. That, you know, it's really rough in Satyuga. If you think something bad, you're finished. So the first verse here is, we've heard how the first class was about how to see Krishna in your day, and the second class was about protection, how Krishna is protecting, and then yesterday's class was a bewildering class about how Krishna is so powerful that fear personified is afraid of him, but at the same time Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. So today we're going to hear the reasons why he comes. The first verse, 32. Kechit ahurjam jatam gunyashloka shikirtaye yadapyasyan bhavaye malayasye vachandanam. Some say the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say he's born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. So Kechid Ahur means some people say the unborn has taken birth. So somebody who is a foolish person reads this verse that the unborn is born, and they think, oh yes, he is also born just like us. When I was in Mayapur one year, they were having the Nisringadev's appearance day, but someone made the mistake of writing on a poster Nisringadev's birthday. And when Bhavananda saw that, he got so angry. He is not born. He doesn't have a birthday. He appears. He is not born. So this is the right understanding. Just like the sun is appearing now, it's not like the sun is born every morning and dies at night. The aboriginal people used to think that. Now the sun is dying. It's nighttime. Now the sun is born. It's morning time. So the sun is not born. The sun does not die. In the same way, Krishna is not born, Krishna does not die. He's always there, just like the sun. But sometimes he appears, and sometimes he disappears. So Krishna is everywhere. And he appeared just for the glorification of Yadu, and also for Yudhisthira, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Punya Shlokasya means the Punya Shloka are the devotees. They're very pious, pious people. So he comes to glorify them. He has no work to do when he comes here, actually, because he's God. But he has one work, Prabhupada said, and that is to glorify his devotees. He likes to glorify King Yadu. He likes to glorify the Pandavas. And this is the work of Krishna. So if we want to become the devotee of Krishna, if we want to become Punya Shloka or Priyasya, very dear to Krishna, then we need to serve Krishna, glorify him. We like to glorify him, and he likes to glorify us. He likes to glorify the devotees. So the challenge of our life is somehow or other to become very dear to Krishna, as a servant, as a friend, as a father, mother, or as a lover. Because Arjuna was dear to Krishna, then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him. So another meaning of Punya Shloka is that the devotee is always saying beautiful prayers to Krishna, reciting prayers, shlokas, punya, auspicious prayers. Krishna, another name is Uttama Shloka. So he is the one who is being praised by prayers, and the devotee is the one who is praying. So we have Punya Shloka and Uttama Shloka, the two of them. So to understand Krishna, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we repeat Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're glorifying Krishna. So the next verse is about So the first reason why Krishna came is to glorify his devotees. Now the second reason Krishna came is because the devotees pray for him to come. This is verse 33. This is Vasudeva and Devaki, they prayed. Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Yachito Bhagat Ajastamasya Kshemaya Vaidhaya Cha Saradisham. Others say that since both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. So this is the reason given again in Bhagavad Gita. Does anybody know that verse? That is, here he comes for the devotees and to kill the demons. Edahya dahi dharmasya, okay. And the next one? Parichanaya sadhunam vinashaya sudhuskitam. Very good. Yes, so he comes to protect the devotees and to kill the demons. So in these prayers, now we're hearing a lot of names of Krishna's great devotees. We heard the name of Devaki and Vasudev now. We heard the name of Yadu. We heard the name of Yashoda in yesterday's class. So she's all these, what do all these devotees have in common? Yashoda, Yadu, Devaki, Vasudev. Can anybody figure that out? There is something that they are very similar, all these different devotees. Yes, they are in the parental ras. So Kunti is glorifying those devotees in parental ras. She is also in parental ras. So she's really appreciating those who are like her, but maybe even more advanced than her, like Yashoda. So she's glorifying those devotees who are in the parental ras. And another point is that she knows if she says the names of Krishna's devotees, Krishna will be attracted. Krishna is attracted more if you say his devotee's name than if you say his name, because he loves his devotees. Now Krishna, he's all attractive. He attracts everyone, but he's attracted if we say the names of his devotees, just like Lord Chaitanya, he prays, Ai Nanda Tanuja, Kinkaram Patite Mam, please pick me up, oh son of Maharaj Nanda. So, this is Krishna's mentality. Although he attracts everyone, he is also attracted by his devotees. So, first part is to protect the devotees, second part to kill the demons. Vadhaya cha suradi sham, those who are envious of the suras. So, the meaning of sura is demigod, but it also means in this world the devotees. There are suras and there are asuras, even here and now. And if you become a devotee, then you will realize that there are people who are against you just because you are a devotee. I was talking to one couple who was here yesterday. The wife is pregnant, and they're just new, like they've been coming since 1 year. And he was saying, oh, I just like to associate with devotees. They're the best. I said, why? Why is that? He said, because in my work and around me, the persons who are not devotees, they just like to glorify themselves. But when I go and associate with devotees, they like to glorify Krishna. They don't like to glorify themselves. So that's why I like to associate with devotees. There's a new person coming. And so these are the devotees. For the asuras, they are the center of this world. And the world is revolving around them. But for the devotees, Krishna is the center. So, not only does Krishna like to glorify his devotees, he likes to put them in a higher position than himself. We discussed that yesterday. How it's not so much fun when everyone's praising you and offering these prayers. Sometimes he gets a bit bored when the people are offering him the Vedic hymns, very formal, very official. And sometimes in Vrindavan, when he used to come home, he would be detained by demigods on the path trying to offer him prayers. His mother would get anxious and they would say, don't worry, it's just the demigods. They're offering him their evening prayers, so that's why he's late coming home. But his cowherd boyfriends, they thought nothing of it. They would just like brush the dust off his peacock feather and as the demigods were really in awe and reverence and afraid. So there, again, there's two different relationships. So when Krishna comes to this world, he likes to make his devotees seem higher than himself. Now, that's the opposite of the concept in this material world. Everyone wants to be in the highest position. Just like when Srila Prabhupada went to visit Japan for the printing of his books, he went to the printer named Dainapan, and he met one of the executives there. And so Srila Prabhupada said, "So what is your goal in life?" And so the executive took out a whole stack of name cards, and his name was on the bottom. And so he took his card and put it on the top. He said, "That's my goal of life." So I want to be on the top. Now, the spiritual world is the opposite. Everyone wants to be on the bottom. Everyone wants to be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So Krishna is the same. He also wants to be servant of the servant of his devotees. Krishna also wants to do that. So when he comes here, he likes to glorify his devotees. Now, there's one example of the Pandavas, where one of the Pandavas was more in a more glorious position than Krishna. Can anybody think of which Pandava that was? Yeah?
Arjuna,
yes. How is that? Yes, Krishna was the driver, and Arjuna was the hero of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Okay, another example, it can be another incarnation of how, like Lord Ram. There's an example in the Ramayana, in the incarnation of Ram, one of his devotees. One of his devotees could do something that Ram couldn't do.
Hanuman,
yes, very good. Hanuman could jump over to Lanka, but Ram had to go on the bridge. He had to walk on the bridge. He didn't fly over to Lanka, but Hanuman did. So therefore, his devotee was doing something greater than himself. One time, Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Vrindavan, and one devotee said to him that, "Srila Prabhupada, it seems like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spread Krishna consciousness only in India, but he left it for you to do it all over the world." So Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes," he said, "and for you." So it's not just Srila Prabhupada that has to do that. We also have to do that. And that is the reason for Srila Prabhupada to come, and the reason for us, that is also the reason for our living, is to help Srila Prabhupada spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Now, a question may arise. Now, Srila Prabhupada asked the question in one of the purports. If a devotee is already delivered, it says, you know, he's doing his devotional service, he's liberated, he's on the transcendental platform, so what is the need of Krishna coming to deliver him if he's already delivered? And these people, like Prahlad was a pure devotee, and all these people are, all his devotees are pure devotees. They don't need to be delivered, they're already liberated. So what is the need for Krishna to come here? What is the answer to that? Why does he have to come then if they're already delivered? Obstacles?
Doesn't he come for all the ones who are not yet delivered?
He comes for the ones who are not yet delivered. That's true. That's true. Yes?
I think there's also a need for him to be famous, you know, like the fan spread this way.
Oh, yeah, he likes to be famous, okay. In the back? Pandu, ready?
As a pastime to show the rest of us what Krishna does.
Yeah, that's a really good reason, yeah, because to show what he does, to show us what he does so we get attracted. That's also good. Yes, did you have something?
Similar thing.
And guess what? None of you got the reason I have. He doesn't need to protect. They're already protected. Yeah? Yeah, he likes to. There's still another reason. Yes?
To associate.
You're getting closer. Actually, because he does come to deliver them from separation. All his devotees here are feeling separation and they want to see him. So he delivers them from that pain of separation. That's why he comes. That's the reason why he comes. His devotees are saying, oh, we want him to come, we want to be with him, we want to see him. So he comes. He comes just to relieve their anxiety of separation from him. Because they're already delivered from the material, they don't have to worry about the demons and all that. They're not affected, but they are feeling the pain of separation. They are feeling that. So therefore he comes. So verse 34, Bhāravatāvaranyanye bhuvanāva ivodatau sīrantyā puriparena jatāhyātmā bhuvartitā. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahmā, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. So if any of you have been on a boat from Mayapur to Navadvip, then you can get an idea of what is being talked about here. They put, I don't know, countless motorbikes, bicycles, people, maybe 30, 40, 50 people. They cram on one boat, you know, like not a big boat, just, you know, kind of a flat one. And you're all together there, and you're going out in the middle of the Ganga, and you're thinking, I hope it doesn't sink. Yeah. So this is a picture here. This is also drawn when she was 10 years old, my stepdaughter. Picture of the boat at sea. So she saw the dog was in fell over, and other people are falling off the boat. So this is the boat of the earth, actually. And actually, Srila Prabhupada has said that now, because they are drilling for oil, the earth may also become imbalanced. An imbalance may come. Because he said the earth is just like a giant airplane, and the airplane flies on petrol. So the petrol, the oil, the gas, is what the earth needs to keep it flying in the air. It burns it. In the center of the earth, it's very hot. So it's burning this petrol and gas. So it keeps the balance, so it keeps it floating in the air. So he said, because they're drilling, then this is very demoniac, and the earth can actually lose its balance because of this. And so this is demoniac. So at the time when, before Krishna appeared, there was a problem with overpopulation. That's also a big problem today. I mean, people think it's a problem of overpopulation. So is it actually overpopulation? Should we increase our birth control methods to stop this overpopulation? What is the overpopulation? What is the real problem here?
It's greed.
Greed, yes. What else?
Power struggle.
So overpopulation means not there's too many people, but there's too many demons. Actually, everyone can live peacefully. But when the demons are controlling, when the asuras are controlling the earth, then there's a problem. And that's what happened when Krishna came. Actually, in Dwaraka, there was no overpopulation. It's described in Krishna book that Ugrasena, who was the king, had 3 trillion bodyguards. Only bodyguards, what to speak of. There were 900,000 palaces. And just to teach the children in the Yadu dynasty, they had 38 million teachers. So you can imagine how many kids there were. And then for every kid, there's 2 adults usually. Or, of course, they had a lot of kids in those days. Krishna had 10 boys and 1 girl from every queen. So, but there was no overpopulation in Dwaraka, which was just out in the middle of the ocean. And what to speak of the rest of the earth? And so now the problem of overpopulation is the problem of demoniac overpopulation. This is a burden for the earth. Bali Maharaj said when he was on the earth, that there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy, and Mother Earth has no problem carrying them, but she feels very overburdened if she carries even one person who is a liar. So this is the burden of the earth. This is the burden. And so Srila Prabhupada said In his purport, no one is free from speaking lies, so therefore one could just imagine how this has overburdened the earth. Now is a great overburden, great burden on the earth. Chanakapanda gives the example of how a bad son is a burden on the father. He says, what is the use of getting a son who is neither learned nor a devotee? So Srila Prabhupada said, if you have an eye, if you have a cataract in your eye, you can't see and it's only giving you trouble. So the population of this earth now are very demoniac. Varna Sankara, as it was described in Bhagavad Gita. So therefore the earth is disturbed. There's no peace. When devotees live in the earth, then it's a burden of love. It's a burden, maybe a burden, but it's a burden of love. And the earth doesn't mind having devotees living on her. But when people forget what is dharma, then it's a problem. And then God comes. So once in London, Srila Prabhupada was at the airport, and he was asked by a reporter, why have you come here? Srila Prabhupada said, to teach you what you have forgotten, and that is God. Teach you that. So at the present moment, the earth is overburdened. So has Krishna come here? No? He always comes. Yes? Yes? How has he come? His name, very good. Kalikali Namarupi, Krishna Avatar. So Prabhupada said, if people chant Hare Krishna, you can change the whole world into Vaikuntha. And the burden of the earth will be relieved. So that was Srila Prabhupada's vision, Lord Chaitanya's prediction. The holy name will be spread in every town and village of this world. And so we have to fulfill that prediction of Srila Prabhupada. One Gaur Purnima, I went to Mayapur, and the Panchatattva had this dress, and on the dress was Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Chinese, English, Sanskrit, Bengali. Beautiful dress. All the languages of the world, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Panchatattva was wearing that dress. And so that is the victory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to have the name spread all over the world. And that was an indication. That dress was an indication that it's happening. That the Chinese, the Arabic, the English, the Hindi, Bengali, all over, all the languages, German, French, it's all happening. Russian. So the burden is being lifted, but still there's a lot of work to do to lift the burden of the earth. Verse 35. Vavesmen klishamananam avidya kama karmavi shavana smaranarhani karisha itikeshnam. Yet others say you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Now, we've heard many reasons why Krishna came, but this is the real reason, to give us devotional service. This is the real reason. So how did Krishna teach us devotional service? We know Lord Chaitanya taught. He came, he showed how to chant Hare Krishna. Well, what did Krishna do? How did he teach us devotional service? Through Tulsi Devi. Yes? Yes?
Through his pastimes, he attracted us.
Through the pastimes, but he also taught Bhagavad Gita. Very good. He taught Bhagavad Gita. So he taught devotional service by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya taught by his activities and by chanting, giving us the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the words in this verse, Bhavesmin Klishamananam, refer to the struggle for existence. Bhave is the ocean, and klishamananam are all the difficulties, all the troubles that we face. Now the next line, avidya kama, oh, go up there. Oh, did I read the verse?
Yes.
Okay, so go back to the Sanskrit now. We're going to look at the verse, if you can.
Yep.
Can you go backwards? There we go. Okay, first line is the nature of this world, bhavesmin klishamananam, The bhava is the ocean and klishamananam is the difficulty. Then the second verse is the cause of the suffering. Avidya, ignorance. That's the first cause. And because of avidya, kama comes. Then we get material desires. Then because of kama, material desires, then comes karma bhi. We have to work. If you have desires, you have to work for them to satisfy your desires. So why is this happening? Because of ignorance. Avidya, kama, karma bhi. So what is the solution? Sravanam, smaranarhani, karisha nitikechana. Hearing, remembering, and worshipping. So, Prabhupada says, here in one line, in this verse, the first and second line actually, the whole material existence is explained. So this one line, of course it's the first and second line, is worth thousands of years of research work. They're trying to figure out, why is there suffering? Why is there a problem in this world? Here's the answer, right in this verse. Very, very short, very simple. Prabhupada says, explains how we're taking birth in this world, that's kama. Where he's going, karma. What his activities should be, that's shavana, shavana smarana, and many other essential things. So people have created a burden of work because of kama. Therefore, you go back to the first line, because of the kama, karma be, then klishamananam, so much trouble, so many difficulties. And it's a vicious cycle. So in another verse in Bhagavatam, it says, Shesha Sankvesha Samam Vitate Gunanuvara Shavanam Murarde. Unlimited troubles can at once be finished if you simply chant the qualities, the activities, the pastimes of Murari. Very simple. You want to be free from distress? Just chant Hare Krishna. Now Prabhupada quotes a famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pritaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vaja. And he quotes it in very different ways. In another verse, we were talking about protection. So the actual translation in Gita is, give up all varieties of religion and surrender to me. So in the previous one, Srila Prabhupada said, give up all your concocted methods of protection and surrender to me. Now today, we're talking about, you know, working hard in the material world. So Krishna says, you rascal, give up all your nonsense and surrender to me. And so he has, I mean, if you look in folio, there's a different translation according to the context every time. There's a different translation. So Kunti, he says, Kunti says, you've come to teach the rascals who are working hard under the burden of self-created work and engage them in hearing, remembering, and worship. So if you cannot chant, if your mind is so disturbed, you cannot think of Krishna, you have another chance, Prabhupada says. And you know what that chance is? You just come and look at the deities. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya has simplified it. Srila Prabhupada has even made it more simple. Lord Chaitanya has given us the holy name, the chanting. If you can't chant, just look at the deities. It's enough to give you liberation. Said in Bhagavatam that one who just looks and thinks, oh, they're so beautifully, look at that, look at those roses, look at them. They're so beautifully dressed and how they're glancing. That's enough to give you liberation. How nicely dressed is Gaur Chandra, Nitai. So Prabhupada said even a child can do that. He can just sit before the deity and think about them. It's a very simple process. And we have even examples of animals who have done that. Yesterday, Shikri was telling me about a dog that followed the Sankirtan in Mayapur. I also had another experience in Moscow. We were going on Harinam. No, it was Odessa in Ukraine. And it was just a new place. We just went there for the first time to have our seminars. It was like a camp. And so we were going on Harinam. And this place where we were staying was like a huge park, and there were many dogs living there permanently. Well, one of those dogs was a devotee, and it was following us every time we went on Harinam. The other dogs were like eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and this dog was following us. And at Mangalarti time, this dog would come and he would do the down dog pose, you know, offer obeisances on all the shoes of the devotees every morning. at Mangalarti time. So obviously this dog was very pious, more than some of the people. And in Ishrath also, where I go, there's two peacocks. They also come from Mangalarti. They don't come inside. But in Malaysia, there was one cow that used to come for kirtan and class and sit with the Matajis. You come in the temple and just sit with the Matajis and listen to class. Very sweet. And there was a bull in India, in Orissa, that used to come for Bhagwat, you know, they have these Bhagwat Saptas for 7 days. And at the exact time, the bull would come for the lecture and sit morning and evening. So morning and evening, he would come and sit for the lecture and then go. And then the next year, everyone was wondering in this. He came for the next year also for the Bhagwat Sapta. So even the Prabhupada said, even a child can take part in the chanting, even an animal can take part in it, even a dog, he said, even a dog. So we have two examples of the dogs, actually. Yeah, and the pets of the devotees are also very special. They are fallen devotees who have been given another chance to associate with devotees, cats, dogs, whoever they may be. They are very fortunate if they are the dog of a devotee or cat of a devotee. Very, very fortunate. Even they can get purified, because they are hearing the holy name when the devotees have kirtan or play the tapes or whatever, CDs. And they are taking prasadam to the animals. Again, there's so many examples. In Ishrath, there was this beautiful big dog. I think it's called a collie. And it belonged to a neighbor, and it ran away from the neighbor and joined the temple. And the neighbor kept trying to get it back, but then finally he gave up. Let it be a devotee. Beautiful. Called Tilak because it had natural Tilak on its forehead. And so, yeah, and you see the animals in Vrindavan, of course. Sometimes the monkeys, there's a very rare monkey that will offer obeisances. And not usually. They don't bother. They just come and take the food. But there are, yes. And all of those animals in Vrindavan, Mayapur, they will go back to Godhead. Because the last life they may have made some offense, but in this life, they can't make any offense. No matter what they do, you can't blame them. It's their nature. You can't blame them. And so it's a very simple process. Prabhupada said you can come in here, you can look at the deity, and if you're more intelligent, you can offer prayers, he said. So if you want to use your intelligence a bit more, you can offer prayers to the Lord Vandanam and do some worship. So Krishna is coming just to teach us how to do that. The next verse, it goes into a little more detail. And we have a picture for this verse right here. You start up with hearing at the top, and then gayanti, shinvanti, gayanti, smaranti, remembering Krishna, pashyanti. If you do all those things, then achyena, very soon, you will see param bhujam, Krishna's lotus feet. So I'll sing the verse, and you can watch the picture. Shinvanti gayanti grinanta bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitam chanaha teva pasyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaha paramam padam pucham. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So first of all, we have to hear Pariksit Maharaj. That's all he did, and he got perfection. And then we chant, and Shukadeva, that's all he did, and he got perfection. Prabhupada said, you just sit and hear the vibration. Even if you don't understand it, it doesn't matter. It'll purify the heart. It'll go to your soul. And sometimes we chant, but we don't pronounce so nicely. But the main thing is our feeling. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna accepts our desire, our feeling for him when we chant. One of our saintly devotees, his name was Jayananda. He just couldn't pronounce the Sanskrit at all. He would try and try, but he couldn't do it. But he was such a saintly devotee that Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter, it's okay. Don't worry. He couldn't even chant his Gayatri mantra when Prabhupada was trying to teach it to him. But Prabhupada said, doesn't matter, because your feeling is the main thing. So, hearing and chanting. What is the benefit of hearing and chanting? Who can tell me? Yes?
Take away ignorance.
Takes away ignorance. Good. It's like waking. Yes.
Cleans the heart.
Very good. Chaita Darpana Marjanam. Cleans the heart. Takes away ignorance. Okay, these are a little bit like on the negative side. What's on the positive side now?
Yeah.
Huh?
It helps you think of Krishna.
Helps you think of Krishna. Yes, that's the positive side. Negative is that it takes all the dirty things out, and the positive is that it gives us Krishna. It gives us love for Krishna. It gives us attraction for Krishna. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, no, Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are some nice verses about what happens when you chant Hare Krishna. It says, Mali hoya kore she bijaropan, shavan kirtanjale kore she chan. When you get the seed of devotional service, you should take care of the seed by becoming a gardener and planting the seed in your heart. And then you should water it, but with the water of shavana and kirtana. When we chant and hear, we're watering our devotional creeper in our heart. We're making it grow. And tavi starita hoya phale prema phala ihamali sheche niti sharanari jal. The creeper eventually pierces through the universe, goes to the Brahman, and goes further to the lotus feet of Krishna. And when it comes to the lotus feet of Krishna, it starts getting fruits and flowers. Who knows what that fruit, the fruit of the creeper is? Yes?
Devotional service,
yes. Prema. Prema, very good. Devotional service in the mood of prema. The fruit is prema, or love of God. So what shall you do with that fruit when you get it?
Eat it.
Good idea. And?
Share.
And share it, yes. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a gardener, but what am I going to do with all these fruits? I've eaten them to my satisfaction, so now I need to distribute them. So he wants us to distribute those fruits. So another point from the Varaha Purana says, if someone somehow or other chants Krishna's name, Krishna is attracted to him and showers him with causeless mercy. Now here's a very interesting point. Even a ghostly haunted drunkard, miserably suffering numerous health disorders, simply chants the holy name, liberation is immediately within his easy reach. So we should try to get these people to chant. Even if they're hopeless cases, they just chant the holy name and they will be saved, yeah. And if they hear, yes. If they hear also.
Sometimes you see someone in an unfortunate
situation. Right. Right, right. And also if they hear. That's why if some insects are dying, devotees like to go chant to them. Or insects or animals or whatever.
And actually, I'm a Christian. Yesterday, as I was driving home, this man pulled up beside me and had this big new V8 Jag. And he looked completely miserable.
Right.
And he was there. I was looking through my window, through his window. And I thought, well, if I chant, even if you can't hear the song,
you just... Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, the soul is can hear. The soul can hear. There's one of my god sisters who was unconscious in a coma. And devotees went and they chanted to her. And she said she remembered when she came out of the coma that she could hear, although the ears could not hear. The ears could not hear, but she said, I was hearing, the soul was hearing the chanting. So it does go to the soul. This sound is not an ordinary sound. It's very special. Actually, I could just tell this little story about the potency of the holy name. In Moscow, there was this one congregational member who used to come to the temple on Sundays. off and on. So one Sunday he didn't show up. And so the devotees didn't think of anything, but then they got a phone call from the hospital. Said, we got one of yours here. Why don't you come and see him? And the devotees counted, no, everybody's here, you know, who's there? So they went to the hospital, and there was this guy that had been coming. But he had been going to many groups, and he was chanting many things, not just Hare Krishna mantra. He was chanting Om, he was chanting Hare Krishna, he was chanting everything that he could think of. And so what happened was when the devotees got there, he had just left his body. They were on the heart monitor, the brain monitor, it was all going straight line across. So they said, okay, anyway, we'll just start chanting. He started chanting, and then all of a sudden the heart monitor started going like this. And then they chanted, they got more intense, and then the brain started going like this. And then they kept chanting very intensely, and then the guy sat up in bed and said, now I know why Hare Krishna is so important. And then he fell back down and died. Yeah, it's amazing that it can revive the dead, actually. The holy name has that power to revive the dead. Of course, he didn't stay around, but at least he realized what to chant his next life. And perhaps he did go back to Godhead because it was his last.
Krishna says even at the time of death.
Yes, at the time of death. So it was the last thing he said. And the devotees came there. Came there and chanted. So it's important to chant, even if the person has already died. They do stick around for a little bit. You don't go right away. And so it's good to chant even after they leave the body. And they can hear you. And it will also chase away the Amadutas, as we do have experience with some of our parents of our devotees. Grandparents, yeah. Somebody, one grandchild was chanting for the grandfather, nobody else was there, grandmother, one of them. And then they had been seeing the Yamadutas, they had been seeing, and they were telling them, oh, these horrible people are coming. And then the granddaughter started chanting and was embracing the grandmother or grandfather, and then they said, oh, they're gone. And so it does make a difference, the chanting, it's very, very powerful. There's a verse from Vaishnava Chintamani. One who has worshipped the deity of the Lord for at least 1,000 lifetimes, and in each life, having taken proper brahminical initiation, is able to vibrate the holy name of the Lord. So all of you who have been pujaris, who are chanting Hare Krishna in your last lives, 1,000 lifetimes, and now we're chanting Hare Krishna. So here it says, how should you chant Abhishna Shab continuously? See, that's the catch here. You have to chant continuously. That is very important. But actually, Prabhupada gives a more lenient translation of what it means continuously. Continuously means that you everyday chant. And you chant your rounds. That's Prabhupada's mercy. If you just chant 16 rounds, that's continuously. Not that some days I chant and then I go to my old habits. What if you just chant your 16 rounds, it's enough for Prabhupada. And that's for him, that's continuously. He knows our problems in Kali Yuga, so therefore he's very merciful. And then, now is the problem. We have to bring our minds back when we're chanting. And we don't know how our minds go away sometimes into the other worlds, or all over the world, in my case. Because I am going all over the world, and sometimes my mind goes ahead of me when I chant. So now it's a problem. We have to bring the mind back. But if we keep practicing every day, then one day will come when we're in nishtha, and we'll be steady, and we'll be chanting steadily every day. And then Smaranti will remember Krishna even during the day. That's what we're trying to do here, is remember Krishna during our day. And then Ruchi will get a taste, and we'll even like chanting. And then we'll get to the point of asakti. And asakti, that is attachment. Our mind will be our friend. And our mind will take us automatically to Krishna. And we'll say, how did I start thinking of Krishna now? I was in Maya. Now I went to Krishna. That's amazing. All of a sudden I'm starting to think of Krishna. So that is when you know that your mind is your friend. Your mind takes you to Krishna. And then you'll feel pleasure, nandanti. Nandanti is down there. Smaranti, after Shinvanti, Gayanti, hearing chanting, Smaranti, remembering comes Nandanti, then you enjoy. Then you're happy. You're always happy. Unless you feel happy, you can't really do it. And then Pashyanti, and then you will see Krishna. Achirena, very soon. Won't take a long time. And how you do this is, it's not that you try to see Krishna, but Krishna will be so satisfied with your hearing and chanting, he'll want to see you, and he'll show himself to you. He'll reveal himself to you in so many ways during your life, during your day. So if you follow this process, how long will it take? Achirena, very soon. Kunti says, very soon you will see Krishna. If you think of our life compared to the lives of Satyayuga, they have to live for 100,000 years. We're only living not even 100 years, so it's going to be very soon that we can see Krishna. And pravaha means a current. So when you see, that's how there's a river there. See, it's a river of chanting, hearing, remembering. You're flowing down in this river. It's a current. And where is that current going to take you? Take you to Krishna's lotus feet. That's where it will. That's where we will end up if we do this hearing, chanting, remembering. Now, in the material world, people are being washed away by the currents of the material nature. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Mayar Bhashe Jacho Bhashe. You're being washed away. So these are the currents of hunger, thirst, birth, death, old age, disease. But if 24 hours, or if we every day chant our 16 rounds, hearing chanting, the current will stop. And where will this current stop? At Krishna's lotus feet. It will bring us there, naturally. We'll flow to Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada says, all you have to do is see his feet, offer a little tulsi, a little sandalwood pulp at his lotus feet, and your current of material life will stop. Now in the purport he says that we shouldn't jump ahead trying to hear the Rasa-lila, trying to be a gopi already. It's not time yet. We don't have the body of a gopi. We can see that it keeps getting older and older. And it's maybe the young ones do, but the old ones don't have illusion about that anymore. The illusion is gone of our youth and ability to do so many things. So therefore, we should not think that we are gopis. We should start at Krishna's lotus feet. And it's a very good way to go to the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. So now we'll go to verse 37. And now, an important point is in this, is that when we are chanting and hearing and doing all these different things in Krishna consciousness, what should be our mentality? We should be thinking how to please Krishna. I'm doing this to make Krishna happy. So today I want you to do that homework. I want you to consciously think, okay, I want to make Krishna happy by this thing that I'm doing, by this chanting. When you're chanting, you're thinking, okay, Krishna's smiling. I'm making Krishna smile. I'm making Krishna happy. When you're cooking, this is for Krishna's pleasure. When you're, whatever you're doing, whatever service you're doing for Krishna, whatever you're doing, or even if you're just trying to think of Krishna, okay, I'm going to think of Krishna. I'm going to remember Nita Gaurchandra, how they were dressed today. When you're at work, you can just put their picture in your mind and think, okay, they're wearing green and pink and beautiful matching garlands and they're smiling, and I'll just remember them. If that's all you can do, just remember Nitai Gaurchandra during your day. And I'm going to make them happy just by remembering them. If you can't do anything physical or while you're doing some physical service, remember them. So this is one of our questions today, is how to consciously think of pleasing Krishna while you're doing your work, your service. So verse 37. Abhyadyanastang sakitehita prabha jihasa sisvit sridana jivina ishanna chanya bhavata param bhuja parayanam rajasya jitam asam. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us. So this prayer is the point of all her prayers. The reason why she's saying all these things is that she's doesn't want Krishna to leave. She's saying, don't leave us. Why are you leaving? All these kings, we have so many enemies now. Since we killed so many people, we have so many enemies. So in the purport, Prabhupada says something very nice. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What does this mean, all good luck? That means they had great fortune. They were the kings of the world. They were all endowed with opulences. Bhima was strong. Yudhishthira was religious. Arjuna was the greatest bowman. They had good luck. In this world, people say, oh, it's your good luck. You have a nice house, you have this, you have that. Oh, it's your good luck. So Prabhupada said, good luck. But still, even though he had such good luck, they were dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada says, in the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on him. Material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. So then he goes on. He says, the highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. So you understand what that means? Depending on the Lord does not mean you stop working. And some people think spiritual, religious life means you give up everything and you just chant or do something like that. No, it's not like that. You work. You work for Krishna. So the Pandavas were the example of working with valor. What does valor mean? Does everybody know that word, valor? This is, yes, right. This is English first language. And often in classes in India, nobody speaks English. There's so many different... yeah, they told me in Mayapur, they have Chinese, Russian, Spanish. There's nobody who has first language English in the Mayapur Gurukul. They're all from different countries. So, valor means?
It's like a soldier.
Like a soldier. Courage. Courage. Yes. Courage. Valor means courage. You work with courage. At the same time, you depend on Krishna. Prabhupada says, you do everything... Oh, yeah. Where is it there? Okay. They were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. We don't want to become parasites. You know what a parasite is? He goes in your body, he eats all your food and leaves you with nothing. So parasite means you go to someone's house, you eat all their food, and the person who lives there doesn't get any. These are parasites. And the person who owns the house works hard and you just live there and you eat everything and take advantage. So these are parasites. They were not parasites, the Pandavas. They were devotees. They were dependent on his will. So there was one Christian saint, Saint Thomas. He said something very nice. You should pray as if everything depends on the Lord and work as if everything depends on you. So when you're working, you must do it. And when you're praying, then you pray for the empowerment to do it. When you're praying, everything depends on him. When you're working, everything depends on you. Of course, you can pray while you work, yes, also. You can put the two together. Pray while you work, and then you'll get the best of both. Your endeavor and his mercy. So Prabhupada says, they were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. But sometimes if you're highly qualified, you don't think you need to depend on Krishna. I'm very intelligent. My intelligence will get me through any problems. Or I'm very rich. I can buy anything. I can buy any person. I can buy whatever I want. No problems. If I get in trouble, even if they put me in jail, I'll get out on bail. You know. So if you have money, you kind of think, oh, yes, I don't need to depend on the Lord. I have money. Or if you have beauty, that's your ticket to so many things. People will just follow you if you're beautiful. and knowledgeable. If you have knowledge, you think, okay, I know everything. I don't need to depend on the Lord. No, they had everything. But the Prabhupada said, still they always look for the mercy of the Lord because they knew every living being is dependent by a constitutional position. Perfection of life is therefore to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent are called anatta, means without a guardian, street dog. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are sanatta, those having someone to protect them. We see in India street dogs. Here you don't see because they take them away and put them somewhere. But in India, you see them. And they are very, usually they have diseases, their coat is full of spots or kind of boils, or and they're ragged and they're dirty and they're just living in the street. So without Krishna, that's how people are living, although they may not look that way, but actually if you look inside, as he said, they may have a beautiful big car, you look at the face, you can see how they're suffering. Because they're street dogs. They don't have the guardian of, they don't have Krishna, who's for protection. But those who are devotees, they are protected from this unfavorable condition of the material world. So the Pandavas, they were Mahatmas because they depended completely on Krishna. At the same time, they worked very hard. Of course, Arjuna in the beginning, he thought, he had that misconception, oh, I should not work, I should not fight. But then Krishna corrected him by speaking Bhagavad Gita. He thought, yes, no, I'm just going to give it all up and become a sadhu and become a yogi. Well, after he heard the sixth chapter, he gave up that idea of becoming a yogi. That's not going to work. I can't do that. And he realized, I can't do that. Still, he had to learn about bhakti. Of course, he was already a devotee. So they're all Mahatmas. What is the qualification of a Mahatma? A verse in fifth canto, those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of God do not like to do anything not related to Krishna. They're not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. So you have your children, you know they belong to Krishna, and you're doing it as a service. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I am the servant in this house, I am maintaining your family, Krishna. They are your maidservants, they are your servants, and I am the servant who is maintaining all of your servants. So that is the mentality of the grihastha, as a Mahatma grihastha. That's how he thinks. Mahatma grihastha thinks like that. That they are all yours, and this is my service to maintain them for you, to maintain these family members. So here in the purport again, Prabhupada says, for them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt, and the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. So she's giving so many reasons why Krishna should stay. And she mentioned all these devotees' names, Devaki, Vasudeva, Brahma, Earth, Bhumi. Krishna came for them. Why not for us too? We're your surrendered devotees, so you should stay with us now. That's her prayer. We're not free. We still need protection. You may think that now we're okay. But no, don't think like that. We're not free. There's all these enemies, the relatives of those we've killed. And so we're not safe. We need your protection now, too. Don't leave. Don't leave us. Please. So we're also feeling separation. We're actually in the same position. We don't see Krishna. In the time of Lord Krishna, there were those who were present at Krishna's time but did not see Krishna directly. The ladies who were wives and daughters-in-law of those who died in the battlefield, Prabhupada said, never came in direct contact with Krishna. The ladies were always secluded in those days. They would stay at home in the palace. But all of them heard of Krishna, heard of his activities, and they thought of him, talked of him, and became affectionate also like those who were in direct contact. So that's what we can do. We were not in direct contact with Krishna, but we can think of him, talk of him, hear of him, and become affectionate just like those ladies at the time of Krishna. That would be really frustrating if you were there and Krishna was there and you couldn't see him. Now, that's worse than not being able to go to class or something. I mean, just imagine, Krishna's there and you can't go and see him. Yeah. So anyway, Kunti is recommending this hearing, chanting, remembering, and it will land us at the lotus feet of Krishna. So we're also feeling separation from Srila Prabhupada. He left us when we were not expecting it. We were thinking, oh, he said he's going to stay, so he's going to stay. But then he left. We thought, hey, he said he was going to stay. How come he left? And so one of his disciples, Sudama, was with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was talking about the day he was going to leave, actually. And he was saying, Prabhupada was telling him about his leaving, and Sudama said, I didn't deal with it very well. I didn't want to hear it. As far as I was concerned, he's going to live forever, which he does. But he was talking about Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Sudama said, I was totally confused. I said, Prabhupada, all I know is you. Now you're saying there's another kind of guru. What is this? So then Prabhupada said, wait. He said, when you do not see me here physically, always listen for me. I'll instruct you through the bodies of others from time to time. Always listen for me. So we need to listen for the voice of Krishna. Sudama said, what does that mean, Prabhupada, if a dog barks? Prabhupada said, just what I said. Anyone, it can be anyone. So Sudama, he was a sannyasi who left Krishna consciousness after Prabhupada left. And he was dying actually. And so then his mother had a dream of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told her, tell Sudama to go back to the devotees. So his mother went and told him, Prabhupada came and he said, you should go back. So that's how Prabhupada spoke through his mother's body to Sudama. And then he went back and he died in association of devotees. It's Prabhupada's picture up in the ceiling. And so we want to remember Krishna. We want to remember Srila Prabhupada. And we also want to depend on Krishna. So the first question we had was how to please Krishna. How are you pleasing Krishna? And the second one is how are you depending on Krishna in your life? So watch today. See what you do that makes you realize that you are depending on Krishna. What do you depend on Krishna for in your daily life? Just observe. Observe how you are depending on Krishna and observe how you are consciously trying to please Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said, one last thing I'll tell you, it is not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord, thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. So this will help to overcome any problems, to be dependent on Krishna. You have any questions or comments on today's verses? Yes? Praying. Pardon me, I didn't hear that.
Can we also pray, not just formal prayers, but actually talk about our problems in life?
Yes, yes. The question is, can we not only have formal prayers, but can we talk about our problems in life? Yes. When I teach a seminar and having a relationship with the deities, it's all personal prayers. We do all kinds of personal prayers like that. One is to approach him to help you solve your problems. Another one is to approach him to seek forgiveness for what you've done. Another one is just to glorify him. So yes, personal prayers are appreciated. Nectar Devotion says we should offer personal prayers. It's one of the things that we do, one of the angas in devotional service, prayer. And there's different types of prayer, but it can be personal or it can be prayers that are already written, like Brahma Samhita and prayers like that. It can be either way. No, you can never do it too much. or until you start hearing voices, then it's time. But it's all right, yes, you can pray as much as you want. Yes, if you think of doing something good for someone, then you get the karma for that. You get the benefit of it, of the thought. You get the good reaction. If you think something good for somebody, like, you know, I mean, there's pious activities and there's also like devotional pious activities. Like pious means, you know, you build a hospital. And even if you think of it mentally, then you get the pious result of that. That you won't be sick in your next life, whatever. You build a school, your next life you'll have all kind of knowledge. Or if you think of doing something good for a person, then your next life, then it's the same benefit. You get the same benefit as if you had physically done the activity. That's from First Canto. And that's why Parikshit spared Kali. He saw the benefit of Kali. Parikshit was like a bee. He saw even the good in Kali. So there is good in Kali Yuga, and that is one of the concessions of being born in this age, that anything we think good, we get the benefit of that thought. We get the whole reaction, pious reaction of that. And if it's devotional service, we get it too. We get the benefit of performing devotional service even in our mind. So we serve a Vaishnava in our mind, or if we do anything mentally, we get the complete full benefit as if we do it physically. Yeah. Yes, so that is a very wonderful, and that's why, one of the reasons why those who are born in Satya Yuga, they pray to be born in Kali Yuga, because they know it's so easy to get love of God in Kali Yuga. So we do have some people here from Satya Yuga who have come in our movement just to be in Kali Yuga and to make a quick advancement in this fallen age. Yes?
You mentioned pious credits, something about taking 1,000 births and then you come to the point of Chan Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Yes, that was a verse. One meaning is that you have actually taken 1,000 births. Another meaning is as good as if you had done that. Yeah. So for those of us who didn't take 1,000 births as pujaris, then then it's Prabhupada has given us that benefit of not having to do that, go through all of that. Of course, it's quite nice to be a pujari for 1,000 births. I wouldn't mind. It's quite nice to do that. I'm sure Jananivas and Pankajangri are going to be in that cycle, perhaps. I mean, I think they want to take care of Radha Madhava, birth after birth. They have said that was their desire. So, yes. But you can also hear the prayers of the Devahutis, conclusion after hearing the whole Sankhya philosophy. Anyone who is chanting the holy name must have visited pilgrimage places and done all these sacrifices and done all these things in order to be chanting the holy name. Yeah.
As you get older, you think of different, more inclusive sometimes devotional service.
Different?
Sometimes you think of personal service, not so much externally. You might be thinking, like you were saying, Prabhupada said 16 rounds is enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's natural. Yes, it's. That's really good. No, it's wonderful. It's the result of chanting. The result of chanting is there comes a time when 16 is not enough and you feel the need to chant more. That's a very good sign in your devotional service. It's not forbidden. In my initiation letter, Prabhupada said at least 16 rounds. He said, chant at least. He didn't say, just chant 16 rounds. And there is a typing error. It said 26. And then they erased it and put 1. I said, uh-oh. First he said 26. Anyway, yeah, at least, and he does, that is his mood. He does say in his books that you should be chanting 24 hours, but at least you chant 16. And time will come when you do have a desire to increase, because you do think of Krishna when you chant, and it's nice, and you like it. And your anxiety's gone, and so many nice things happen when you chant, so you want to chant more. Yeah, okay. Does anybody else have a question first? Before anybody else? We could, let's give someone else a chance if they do have a question. Yes.
I had a comment.
Okay, comment.
It's a bit of a dilemma.
Uh-huh.
It's something that's come up in my life several times.
Right.
So the first point is that if I was watching TV and a surgery, an operation came on TV, a surgery being performed,
right,
it would make me feel sick.
Yeah, yeah.
To look away.
Yes.
But several times in my life, I've come across incidences where someone is either about to die or has had a serious accident or has actually left their body, and I'm like drawn to go there.
You're drawn to that.
And chant.
To chant. Yeah, well, it's, yes, yeah, I can understand the surgery part. Even I can't even watch movies or anything because the devotee becomes very sensitive. And when you see these things, whatever your mind is taking pictures of whatever you see, and it's keeping them in your subconscious, whatever you see. And if I were even, sometimes I read the newspaper and I get nightmares. So it's, you get very sensitive as you chant more and more. So you do, then you realize, oh, I just can't watch movies. I can't read the newspaper. Even, you know, because then it affects your consciousness, all these things. Now, a person dying and you chanting, that's a whole other thing, because you see that, there's hope there, that they're going to a better place, if it's a devotee especially, and you're chanting for the devotee.
Yeah. Well,
it's different.
None that I know of the devotees.
Yeah, but even if you're chanting for them, then that's good, because it's very beneficial for them. It's like you're helping them, but like a surgery, you know, there's nothing you can do. The poor person's going to get cut up. And you feel it. Yeah.
As far as the chanting goes, it's a purpose of minimum 16.
Minimum 16 rounds.
The crown present circumstances, sometimes we do, some days we have more time.
Right.
We have to chant more.
Mm-hmm.
That in deity worship, if you increase the steady, you have to keep to it.
Right.
No,
the chanting, the question is, if you increase your chanting, do you have to keep to the standard? And the answer is no. It's all right to increase any time. But the best thing is steadiness, to do the same number every day. So the steadiness will help you. Not that you artificially increase and then you can't stay there. It's better if you chant the same every day. Now, if you can chant more, that's also good. I mean, 16 is the minimum. Make sure you do your 16, and then the rest of the day you can chant as much as you want. And that's all right. You don't have to worry about that.
You can chant all day, but might not be on the beats.
Yeah, it may not be on the beats. That's also good. It's also all right. It's good. You can chant off your beats. It's a good habit to be into, because then if anything's happening, then you'll be chanting. It's something, you know, and things happen.
Chanting in the mind is also good.
Yes. It's very good if you can do it. If you can chant in your mind, that's really good. But it's not instead of chanting out loud. Better to chant out loud, but if you're in a place or circumstance where you can't, then it's great to chant in your mind. And it's good for your mind too. Okay? Now you have a question?
When meditating on the lotus feet,
yeah.
Can you just meditate on the physical lotus feet from Tulsi Gabbard, or is meditating on these feet actually recommended to meditate the markings like that? Or are they the same? Is that not different?
It's not different. Shall we meditate on the marks, or shall we meditate on the physical? Both are good. If you can do that, that's wonderful. If you can meditate on the physical lotus feet, the front, that means the, you know, like how, as we see, that's wonderful. And if you can meditate on the marks, that's also nice. Anyway, somehow or other, meditate on the lotus feet. Any way you can do it. The marks, Prabhupada has said that if you meditate on the marks, the reaction or the benefit will be that all your dirty things will be driven out of your heart. Well, I'm sure the same thing is there for the actual lotus feet. So these marks are very brilliant and very shining. And that's his lotus feet. They're all shining. And they have that ability to drive out all the darkness of the heart. Yes?
You were saying earlier about devotees keeping pets.
Pets, yeah.
And the benefit.
Of the pet. No, I don't know. I'm not saying benefit. Now, for the devotee, it might be a problem if you get attached. Because then you may become a cat in your next life. This may be a problem. Yeah. That may be a problem, yeah. If you get attached, and I do know of one case now, recently, where a devotee had a cat. And the cat was a really good cat. It was more devotionally minded than the devotee. It was waking the devotee up for Mangalarti. It was taking the devotee for chanting. It was like doing all these things. But the devotee was thinking, oh, this cat is Maya. And then once the cat went, then the devotee couldn't get up and do it. And then you realize, oh my God, the cat was more Krishna conscious than I was. Now she's lamenting for the cat. So this is not good. But anyway, the cat told her when she was going to die. The cat came in and formed, started meowing, 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 and then the cat went in front of the deities, offered obeisances, and died. Left the body. England. So, but we, you know, now you shouldn't put the picture of the cat on your altar and pray to it. I told her, don't do that. Yeah, I don't know. But in the West, it happens. Mm. What can you do? And some gurus like the animals in the houses of the devotees, so I've heard. Some gurus may say, so you when you choose your guru, you should find a guru that likes your pets. There's no hard. This is Kali Yuga, so you know, everyone's drowning in the ocean, and it's okay. I mean, you just help whoever you can. In the floods in Mayapur, sometimes there are snakes, and the devotees even save the snakes and save the dogs. You know, floating down the rivers, they save the cows are floating, so they save everyone from the flood. I don't know if they save the snakes actually. But they saved the dogs. I don't think it would be a good idea to save the snakes. They can take care of themselves. But they do share the same tree. You know, if you're stuck in a tree during the flood, there's snakes up there and there's people up there in the trees, in the floods. They share the same tree. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow we have verses 38 to 43, and we'll finish. Tomorrow's the last day. Hare Krishna.
Anybody wants a copy of one of these classes? If you bring a thumb drive tomorrow.
A stick. Bring a stick tomorrow if you want copies of classes. Tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last class. So. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last class.
Just in case that
okay.